This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, thanks for staying with us, Xiaoning, Philip and myself, Chuang. In about 30 minutes, we'll discuss innovation-led growth with Azam Wan Hashim, a researcher with ideas. But in the meantime, let's look at competition.
Right, so the Malaysian Competition Commission, better known as MyCC, is seeking amendments to the Competition Act 2010 to allow for its oversight over mergers and acquisition deals, or M&As. The Minister for Domestic Trade, Datuk Sri Alexander Nantalingi, told Bernama that the agency was looking to table the amendments by the end of the year.
So this issue stems from the debate over monopolies, which was sparked earlier in the week by comments from PKR MPs Wong Chen and Nurul Izzah, where they expressed concern over the dangers of Grab's market dominance in ride-hailing and the gig economy. Now, unlike other countries' jurisdictions, MyCC does not have the powers to review M&As. In contrast, Singapore's regulator was able to rule that the 2018 Grab-Uber merger as anti-competitive. Now, would oversight over M&A strengthen MyCC's role as a competition watchdog? And what would be needed to carry this task out effectively?
For a picture of how competition law operates here and the role of MyCC, we speak to Mervyn Lai, a senior associate at Tom Lee Thomas Advocates. Good morning, Mervyn. Briefly, how is competition regulated in Malaysia?
Well, it falls under the Competition Act 2010 that prohibits all forms of conduct which are in restraint of competition. Largely, this falls into two categories. The first are prohibited agreements, so that's conduct between two parties, for example, price fixing. The second category would be abuse of dominant positions. That's where an enterprise with, for example, very high market share, they abuse that position to their advantage. Typically, this is where they use their size to exploit customers, force suppliers to only supply to them, or perhaps engage in predatory pricing. So that's where they undercut and they sell their products at a loss, hoping that the competitors would either go bankrupt or exit the market. And all this falls under the Malaysia Competition Commission, which is called MyCC.
So Mervyn, what are the powers of MyCC and what's the extent of its reach?
Okay, the MyCC's jurisdiction, other than the communications and multimedia, energy, petroleum, aviation industries, those have their own separate regulators, but everything else, the MyCC covers that. So the powers that they have, they do investigation, and after they've done their investigation, they also act as judge, jury, and executioner. So they listen to the companies who argue about whether or not they had, in fact, contravened the act, then decide whether or not the parties are guilty, and then they impose penalties. The powers are actually quite wide once they find that there's an infringement. The financial penalties can be up to 10% of the worldwide turnover of the infringing company's revenue for the period of infringement. So, for example, let's say you entered a price fixing agreement for 1 year. Your revenue for that 1 year, it can be penalized up to 10% of it. They also have powers to direct the companies to stop engaging in their conduct or take affirmative action to remedy the effects of that conduct. And of course, the MyCC's decisions are appealable to the Competition Appeal Tribunal, so that acts like the Court of Appeal, if you will.
But MyCC doesn't actually have oversight M&As, and so why wasn't this included as part of the Competition Act 2010 then?
When we talk about oversight over M&As, what we're really talking about is merger control. So for example, when two companies merge and they become a larger single player in the market, there's going to be one less competitor. So inevitably, there's going to be competition concerns. Now, it's very hard to unwind a merger once it's happened. So what countries with merger control do around the world is that they require that proposed mergers must first be reviewed and approved before the merger can proceed. Otherwise, if the merger went on without going through the process, they may find themselves being exposed potentially to being unwinded back or face financial penalties. So why didn't Malaysia have it when the Act came into force 10 years ago? Well, it's really about practicalities and capabilities. For practicalities, merger control is inherently contradictory to the free market. And you must remember the Act was passed in 2010, but it was in the policy stage and was being drafted well before that. So the concerns of the 08 financial crisis were surely in the back of the minds of the policymakers back then. They wouldn't want to disincentivize investment to that practicalities. The second one is capabilities. The MICC in 2012, when the Act came into force, would have just started. So if they were to throw into the deep end, it would be very difficult for them. Because reviewing mergers involves complex market analysis and solutions. It requires MICC to not only consider potential anti-competitive effects post-merger, they must also devise solutions to deal with that post-merger concern. So for example, they may have to analyze which departments if merged are of concern and then impose the condition that if you merge, you must carve out that department. So what happened was the MICC first started off by cutting its teeth in more simple direct cases, for example, going after the ice cube manufacturers, very simple direct cases. Of course, I think now, 10 years later, CEO of MICC, Ajit Iskandar Ismail's, is more confident of his team. He's built up his team. So maybe now they're more capable of dealing with merger control.
Yeah, so Mervyn, the Minister of Domestic Trade is trying to propose to amend the law to give powers to MICC to regulate M&As. How should this law take shape, taking into account Malaysia's context?
Okay, I think merger control is definitely a step in the right direction, but it's hard to say for each and every case whether the merger should proceed. So I think the best illustration is what happened with the Grab and Uber merger in 2018, if you remember. Back then, MICC had no merger powers, still doesn't. The question that needs to be asked in hindsight is the Malaysian market for e-hailing cars better off with or without a competitor? Or, you know, was the market not able to sustain the competitors? And that's really a question of economic policy. I mean, keep in mind that we're not that big an economy. So even in Singapore, the merger was ultimately approved. Of course, on condition that the Grab did not impose any changes to its pricing algorithm for a period. I mean, that's lifted now. But you know, the merger went ahead. So obviously, they made out a case for the economics as to why the merger should go through. Now, how the law should take shape, I think one of the things which would be of interest to M&A lawyers is what's the minimum threshold of the size of the merging parties before merger control is triggered. I think that's one of the areas of interest. What's the size before merger control kicks in?
Yeah, you earlier mentioned about capacity and competency. So what kind of resources would MICC need in order to carry out this merger control mandate effectively?
Okay, what I know about the MICC is that they have a great team with a mix of lawyers and economists, but they go on a case-by-case basis. They decide what they want to investigate, so they control what's required of their people. Of course, when you have merger control in place, then it's really out of their control all the submissions for merger reviews coming in, right? So I think the government, if it makes this law come into effect, really needs to consider the resources that should be allocated to meet this demand of resources. And I think it's going to be quite a lot of resources that's required.
Yeah, it was Mervyn Lai, Senior Associate at Tommy Thomas Advocates. And of course, in about half an hour, we'll also be talking to the MICC Chief, Iskandar Ismail, on the grill about these issues precisely.
No, after the grill.
After the grill, that's what I meant.
At 8:30, not during the grill.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We're having
but
a different
say.
Kind of breakfast grill today, Kusu.
Wow. But I think that the issue is this, because there's a lot of countervailing issues involved, right? You want to control, well, you don't want price fixing and the what it means for the consumer. But at the same time, you don't want to throttle business as well.
Yep.
I think that's the issue.
Yeah, he made the point about you curtail investments and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't
right?
be sending the wrong messages because FDI right. is fierce. Competition for FDI, good quality FDI is tough.
Yeah, and I've also got questions later on for the MICC boss because I'm always curious, if the consumer actually benefits, then is it really truly a monopoly? I mean, you know, there are all these grey areas, right? So do tune in after the breakfast grill at 8:30 to find out more, where we'll be speaking to MICC's CEO directly and lots of questions to ask him.
Okay, we'll have the news now, and after that we'll come back with Jonathan Curtis, Vice President of Portfolio Management at Franklin Equity Group, on the Outlook for Tech, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.